to have so many outstanding alumni here joining us, and of course the many Shana Bet guys that are here, and the Shana Aleph Chevra that have joined us this morning. I saw this morning in the Lev Shalom from Shalom Shajon a tremendous question. And he says that we know that the time in Mitzrayim was very challenging, very difficult. The labor was intense. The gezeros of like throwing the children into the ore was very intense. Paro would slaughter children, Jewish children, to bathe in their blood. And the Medrash tells us that Shibud Mitzrayim Koshav Nei Malkum Kol Shibudim Shabaolam Shnei Vayomer Hashem Ra'o Re'isi Es Ani Ami. That all the Shibudim, where there was certainly hardship and difficulties and torture, etc., out of all the Shibudim, Mitzrayim was the worst in Hashem's eyes. However, if you go in, once the Jews go into the Midbar, there are a number of times in the Midbar they said, oh, it was better for us in Mitzrayim. Things were good for us in Mitzrayim. Just to quote a few, right? They said they yearned for the watermelons and the kishum and the zucchinis, right? And they had fish. They were able to eat with ease. The pasuk in Midbar tells us, "Nafna rosh v'nashu Mitzrayim." Well, let's go back to Mitzrayim. What are we doing in the Midbar? So it seems like a very, very, very powerful and strong and disturbing stira. On the one hand, when they were in Mitzrayim, things were extremely difficult. And on the other hand, when they were in the Midbar, they said, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. So what's going on here? So, and also, furthermore, there's a pasuk that after Paro dies, V'yakum Melech Chodesh, later on in the parasha, after he meets up, after Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Sneh, so it says that Paro dies, and then and they groaned and they cried out to Hashem. Question is, why did it take that long to finally cry out to Hashem? It's a little bit strange. It seems as though things were not going well for the Bnei Israel prior to that. Why did it take so long for them to cry out? Perek Beis Pasuk Chokim Vayi Vayom Haim Vayom Haram Haim Vayom Es Melech Mitzrayim. Only then are they crying out. It happens to me, the Medrash over there tells us that when Paro had to die, he died from some sort of ailment that required bathing in the blood of 300 Jewish babies on a daily basis. And it's interesting to note, they didn't cry out from the fact that Jewish babies were being killed, they cried out from the Avoda. Right? So there's a lot of questions going on over here. So Shlomo Shrajan tried to explain this with the following mashal. He said, when a person, Rachman Latzon, if a person falls off from a high place, falls off of a roof, so he has a lot of pain. But when you get closer, all of a sudden, he's quiet. So he went unconscious. And Mimela, he could be even dreaming, actually, now that when he saw it, he must have fainted once also. I've fainted a few times in my life. And when you faint, it's like your momish, like you're in a dream world. It's like dreaming. Meaning, here's a person who fell. He's from a high point. He's in tremendous, tremendous pain. Things are hurting him, and all of a sudden, he doesn't make a peep, and he could be in La La Land. He could be feeling good. He said that was the matzav of Bnei Yisrael during the Shibud, that they were so numb, they were so asleep, they were so faint from the Shibud of Mitzrayim, that they didn't even cry out. They got so accustomed and so used to it. They were like in La La Land, dreaming out of being faint. And that's why the Medrash tells us that Shibud Mitzrayim was the worst in Hashem's eyes. Why? There are other terrible ones, terrible Midrashim. But the problem with Shibud Mitzrayim was the Jews, as they were in it, they forgot that they're Bnei Yisrael. They forgot their Chashivus. We know, of course, the Shibud didn't start until the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Yaakov, passed away. Why? Because there was too much nechbadus, too much honor. The reason why Shevet Levi wasn't enslaved because they had too much honor. They were Bnei Yisrael. But the problem was, for the Jews that were in Mitzrayim, they became too accustomed. Even Rav Shalom Shajan, he even knows U.S. history. He says 100 years ago, the African-Americans, They didn't know any different, right? Until, you know, certain leaders, you know, had dreams and so on and so forth. They were able to, actually, that was obviously in the 60s, much later, it was more of equality. But obviously, we're talking much earlier. They didn't know anything else. So too the Jewish people, they forgot. They forgot the B'nai Yisrael. They became numb. And they thought this was normal. And that's why the Medrash tells us that this Shibud is so hard for them. This was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at as the worst Shibud. Because they were numb and they didn't realize what they were missing. And then and only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this terrible tzara, when he had Paro bathe in the blood of 300 babies on a daily basis, that was like the shock. That was what finally woke them up and realized that they have to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he also brought in another mashal. I don't want to say a unique mashal, an interesting mashal, but he said the following story happened that an Am Aretz, a person, a non-affiliated Jew, came to a certain Rebbe and was bemoaning the fact that his daughter was sick. She was ill. And the man started to cry. And as he was crying over his lack of faith and his lack of observance of mitzvos and the difficulty about his daughter being sick. And the Rebbe was smiling. And seemingly from the story, it sounds like he was laughing. And everybody, including this gentleman who's pouring out his heart to this Rebbe, is like, why are you smiling? Why are you laughing? And the Rebbe responded him. I mean, I'll quote it. Until now I thought you were dead and you don't feel anything. You're numb. Nothing affects you. You're just going by rote, you know, just doing going on your way. Right? That's why you afflictions don't bother you. That's what I thought, because I thought you're so numb. Ki ein kvar ez milo orer. There's nobody to awaken. I thought you wouldn't get hardships, you wouldn't get difficulties, because there's no reason to wake you up, because you're dead. There's no reason to wake you up. Now that I see that you're giving this punishment, this affliction of your daughter being sick, that you've woken up now to realize your low spiritual stature, I see that it's an amazing thing that in Shemayim they realized that there's what to do, what to work with you, that you're fit and it's appropriate to wake you up, and you have the resources now, the tools to awaken yourself. And now Baruch Hashem they give you Yisurim. Obviously, the Rebbe had some sort of confidence that this person was taking this in the right direction. What an unbelievable story and a mashal. Obviously, it's a little bit uncomfortable that somebody could pour his heart out and a Rebbe could smile or even laugh at him, but he's saying no. Because a person doesn't go through Yisurim unless they're there for him to grow from, right? We know that I once heard from one of my rabbis. He likes to say that if there's nothing challenging in his life, then his mamash kilu is dead. Because life is to grow from, and therefore you're supposed to have challenges, because challenges make you grow. If Hashem's not giving you any tests, if you don't find any struggles, that means that like you're sort of like not cared about upstairs. Of course. The idea is Adam la'amalila, the person is here to toil. So what we should always do, if you hear something like that life's supposed to be challenging, you don't feel any challenge, so of course address that issue and take upon yourself challenges in Avodah Hashem, take upon challenges in Torah, take upon challenges in Chesed and in davening. But the idea is a person's always supposed to be challenged. Why? Because that's how we grow. We're here to grow, and that's what this Rebbe was telling him. That once he saw that this person was having an affliction, was being afflicted with such a tzara, he realized in Shemayim they want him to grow, and that's pshat with the Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. That here we were so numb, we didn't care. That's why even in the Midbar we said, oh, you know, we recall that things weren't so bad in Mitzrayim. And then, but Mitzrayim was terrible. And that's why the Avodah was so difficult. And that's why only when things got really bad, only when we were shocked with the death of the babies by Paro, then do we cry out about the difficulty of the Shiva Mitzrayim. And I think it's a tremendous lesson, because what does it show us? It shows us that we get used to a certain comfort zone, a certain environment. So we say, oh, Seder, it's not so bad. Oh, you know what? We're just like everybody else. We're going along on our merry way. And that's something that's very dangerous. We can live in a world where it's normal to waste time. It's normal to be involved in inappropriate things. It's normal to be to be focused on gashmius and make the focal point of our life our careers and making money and all these types of things because we're numb. Because why are we numb? Because we don't feel like Bnei Yisrael, we're princes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're the Am HaNivchor, we're Mamlechas Kohanim and Goy Kadosh. It's so easy to forget who we really are. Just like the Bnei Yisrael, it only took a few generations to realize, to accept the fact they were slaves to the extent that they were beaten, they were sent to work at night. They were sent to work, right? Men were doing women work, women were doing men work, and they sort of accepted it. They didn't even cry out until there was a major shock of having these babies being killed, and then they cried out about the avoda. It's such a lesson that a person can live a life and be numb, completely numb to who he really is. And this is really, I think, our generation, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, we're not put into servitude like that, where people are beating us up to make, to build pyramids and so on and so forth. But we have a different type of shibud, a shibud malchus, a shibud, an avoda to the Yetzer Hara, an avoda to the Western world, to the Western civilization. But so often we get just sucked in and we become numb. We're fine. We don't need to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just to quote last night, such a beautiful idea, and it fits in so beautifully, that we went to the Majlis Rebbe last night. Only a few guys here heard it, so it's kedai to say it over again. I think he said it over from one of his great-grandfather. He said a beautiful idea. It says in the Pesukim. So he said he started off with the mashal. The mashal was as follows. The mashal was that a king wanted to send his son away because he felt like he grew up with a silver spoon, as they say. He grew up as a prince with no work ethic. Everything was coming for him. Everything was coming to him. He didn't have to work hard. So he said, you know what? I'm going to send him to his village. When he works in a village, he'll have to work hard. And he'll learn a work ethic. He'll learn what it means to be a king. You don't just like sit back and relax. You actually have to work hard. So he went to a village and he got a job as a woodcutter. And he was working hard. And his father sent him a message. How are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? And he said, yeah, I'm working so hard. Do me a favor. Send me an electric saw. Right? And his father was so disappointed. Like, the guy, he didn't chop. He didn't chop that the whole idea is he's supposed to learn how to work hard. And he wants to come home. And he should request it to come home. And he can put that work ethic to practice. Instead, he adopted the villager mindset that his focus is to chop the wood. He just needs an easier way to chop the wood. So I guess somehow he got that message to him. And a few years later, he sent another message to him. He says, "I'm ready to come home. I want to be close to you. I want to be with you." So he says, "Oh, I found him." See, this is why I opened it up. It's right here. He says, "Vayom Hashem ro rishis ani ami." Possibly quoted before. Hashem mitzrayim v'etz tzakasom shematim tink noiksov ki adati es machoiva, because they're in pain and they're working too hard. So that was like, that's not the point. If they're crying out because the shibud is hard, so then shibud Mitzrayim didn't accomplish its feat. It just means that Hashem, it's too hard. Meaning, we don't mind being avodim. We just don't want to work too hard. That wasn't the point of shibud Mitzrayim. The point of shibud Mitzrayim was, a few psukim later, what does it say? Jews cried out. Why? It says the pasuk, "Vata he neitzakas bnei Yisrael ba elai." They're crying out, came close to me. That's when the Shiva of Mitzrayim reached its point and its purpose. Because the whole idea of the Shiva of Mitzrayim was we were supposed to go ahead and try to say, you know what? We don't want to be connected to working hard. We want to work hard, but we want to be what? We want to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We want to be connected to the Borei Olam. Right? And we know that the whole point of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Ta'avdun Es Elokim Sahar Zeh. Ta'avdun. Lashon Avoda. The whole idea was, first we're going to be Avodim to Paro, and then once we had that spring training, the basic training of being avodim to Pharaoh, then we'll know, that stinks. Being an eved to Pharaoh, that stinks. But you want to be an eved, you want to be the greatest eved in the world, then you have that. You take that type of work ethic, that type of training, and apply it to Avodas Hashem. And that's the whole point of the Shiva Mitzrayim. But the problem was they didn't realize that there was a goal over here. They didn't realize they became too distracted and too engulfed in the idea of doing the avodah itself, until finally, they reached the 49th level of tumah and they cried out, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Oh, you guys have learned your lesson." And I think it's a lesson for all of us that here we are, we're avodim. We're either avodim to things that of ruchnis, things of avodas Hashem, or other things. And I often quote one of my rabbis used to always say, "Adam lo omel yulad." We were created to work. We're going to have to work. No matter what, we're going to have to work. It's our choice. What area of life do you want to work in? People might say, "Oh, I want to work hard in the business world. I want to work hard in school. That's where I want to place my focus." I'm not saying you shouldn't work hard in school and work your career. But where's your focus? Where's the emphasis of your life? Adam lo omel yulad. You're going to have to work. And the mission of us tells us, right? If you mekabel on yourself ol Torah, ma'avirin ol derech eretz. We have to have an ol on our head. We have to have a yoke on our head. But what? If you take upon yourself the yoke of Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away the yoke of derech eretz. It means perhaps people will help you. It could mean that you'll have more siyata shmai in life, whatever it means. But if you take away the ol of the Torah, if you take away the yoke of the Torah, instead of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and give upon you the ol of derech eretz. And this is, I think, the mission. I didn't even think of it, but till now, that mission fits perfectly. We have to remember that we're not avodim stam, we're not avodim to our taivas, we're not avodim to the world, we're not avodim to our environment. We're avodim to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you realize, since Bnei Yisrael, this is what they did. They totally forgot. Can you imagine? They went into the Midbar, they sort of reminisced about it wasn't Mitzrayim? Well, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Why? Because the problem was they were a little bit warped. They're a little bit, not calibrated. A little out of whack with their understanding of what really took place in Mitzrayim. Because they didn't realize internally that they were the princes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they were Avdei Hashem. We should all be zocheh to never chas shalom. We're never going back to Mitzrayim, of course, to be avodim paro, not to be avodim to anything else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a great Shabbos.